Hey everybody, welcome to the Goods Cast for the 16th of February. Andrew Lee, bro, can you believe in a month it'll be 2 years? I mean, we haven't really been doing this podcast that consistently, but it's been 2 years since we started doing this.
It's really been 2 years? Yeah, I can believe that.
At the end of March. I really hope the pandemic comes back and murders a lot of people so we can really go back to doing this every day.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, watching tonight, there is no pandemic, as some of my friends will say. There is no pandemic. How do you... I'll ask them, do you really think the pandemic is over? And they will respond with, how do you define a pandemic? They usually say, I'm like, dude, all right, just say you don't believe in it. I don't care, you know? There's no pandemic.
It's doing something. It's definitely, and it's, I don't know where we are. But tonight was dynamite, and we're going to talk all about it. I'm just going to leave with this. This is one of the best episodes I've seen in a long time.
It was, you know, I didn't realize, you know, you were supposed to text me and let me know if we're doing this. That's why I kind of started late, but then I was really looking forward to it. So when you told me you were watching, I was almost like regretting it because it felt like every time you watched Dynamite, it was a bad episode. So every time you didn't watch, it was great. And I was like, God, he's going to ruin Dynamite for me, but it was really good. It was really good. I liked it.
It was good. I almost feel like they were trying to make a point, like, we don't need Dashing Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, and I feel like, you're not, if you liked it, that means it was a really good show. Because, you know,
there were two things I didn't like, just two. Actually, three, but the third one is very minor.
We'll get into that. So, you made a good point. It felt like an episode saying, like, we don't need Cody Rhodes. And there was no Cody Rhodes in this intro. They took his fucking... You know, in the intro video, he's not in it. Brandy's not in it.
Yeah, I don't think people who still think this is a work are fucking idiots. Like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, in the introduction of the show, there is no mention of Cody. It is in Nashville, Tennessee, and CM Punk is sitting in the middle of the ring. And he starts reciting an old promo he did in Ring of Honor, I believe. And he basically says he's straight edge, so no alcohol, no drugs. Everybody starts booing him. He started off with the crowd not behind him. There's people heckling him, going like, you suck, and they're making fun of him. He shits all over Long Island, and basically he goes, the gist is he wants a match against MJF at Revolution in March. It's going to be a dog collar cage match, and he pulls out this
no cage.
Then what the fuck was the point of him talking about a cage?
He was like, maybe the cage, but that's not brutal enough for you, let's do the dog. And then he kept saying, you want to be like Roddy Piper. And Roddy Piper's most famous match is him and Greg Valentine in the dog collar match.
Yeah,
so that's why
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that's why, like, he kept saying Piper Portland.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
Bring, like, you want to be like Piper? Part. Let's beat me like Piper beat Valentine.
He spent a lot of time talking about cages. I thought it was going to be a dog collar cage match.
No, bro.
And that just makes me realize, like, he should have. Why did he even talk about cages then?
Well, because, like, they say, like, it's not good enough. Because I think everyone thought he was going to ask for a cage match.
Oh, I guess. I felt like, well, then that was stupid. It's like wasting too much time on a cage. Anyway, he pulls out this bondage chain and collar. I thought he was like...
collar.
Dude, I thought he was like, I want to have sex with you. Like,
they're going to have sex later.
He's like, oh, we just had Valentine's Day. He's got a present. He opens up. He's like, MJF, you want to be my Valentine? I swear he said something like that. And I was
he did say you want to be my Valentine.
Yeah, like, he wants to have sex with him. MJF comes out. And he says nothing and he walks out. So MJF comes out, nothing, goes back in. To CM Punk's credit, in the beginning of this promo, there were people against him because he was like, I don't drink alcohol, I don't do drugs.
He used to be MJF.
And people were heckling him and stuff. By the end of this promo,
they were chanting.
He has the dog chain in his mouth. People were fucking behind him, fucking chanting his name. So, I mean, this guy's gifted on the mic, let's just say.
This was my favorite promo of his since the first promo he gave night one, because now it actually seems like him and MJF have a real feud. If this is like a real now, legit, these two want to fucking kill each other. And CM Punk, and the when he brought out the picture, mm-hmm. and dude, it was such great storytelling. My favorite promo of his so far, besides night one.
Yeah, it was a picture of young MJF with CM Punk calling when he was a fan. CM Punk gets brutal at the end of this promo where he's just going like, when we took this picture, this was like your greatest day ever. For me, it was Friday. Yeah. and he's like, and when we
had that's that a line he stole from Street Fighter, by the way, the movie.
What?
He stole that line from Street Fighter, the movie.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. The shitty movie, but it has like that decent
line. A great line.
That's from
M. Bison says it to Chuck Lee. Yeah,
that's right. M. Bison says that. Raul Julia. And then he goes, at Revolution, you're going to have like a worse, terrible beatdown. To me, that's just going to be Sunday. And I was like, oh, that's fucking good. Dude, and yeah, he literally had everybody there. Good promo to start the show. They don't start shows with promos a lot. They really don't.
No, I'm glad they're doing that now. I think you don't need to do it every week. Like that's what WWE does. But I think under the right circumstances, it's the right thing to do.
AEW doesn't do this every week, but I've noticed that every once in a while when they do start the show with a promo, it there's a reason why it does. It's fucking good, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, get the show going right. We get the Jurassic Express with Christian in the back, and Tony Giovanni went over something. It was so confusing for me. I had to listen to it three times to understand what he was saying.
Yeah, there's going to be two battle royals.
I know.
This is kind of stupid.
Okay, so there's going to be two, so next week there's going to be a tag team battle royal, right? Mm-hmm. So the winner has to be a tag team. They're only tag teams as well. Then the following week after that, there's another like tag team battle royal. So you're going to have two tag team battle royal winners, and they're going to face the Jurassic Express of Revolution in a three-way. And the joke of this whole promo was three ways, get it? It's like a sex reference.
Yeah, I think that's kind of stupid. Just, I don't know. We'll talk about it later. I'll tell you why. I think that's dopey. Just fucking book two teams. You know.
I like how Luchasaurus though. Like, he doesn't like. He's like a like he's supposed to be like a caveman. Like three way, and then he just goes like that's all he says. I love that. That he's just like stupid. He goes three way. first match, the American Dragon, Danielson versus Lee Moriarty. They did a good job actually of doing a promo video of how it led to this match.
Yes,
because they didn't do shit like that, right?
I do feel like they're like everything you didn't like was Cody's fault.
Yeah,
look how much better this show is now that this guy's in WWE.
Yeah, they did this great video package leading up to why American Dragon is actually fighting Lee Moriarty. Lee Moriarty comes out second, even though he's like almost a no name. He's only had like four matches in AEW, and before that, he wasn't anywhere except for the Independents. He comes out after American Dragon, and he's got like dope new music promoting this new hip hop.
Yeah, I guess he wrote it. He came
out looking like a somebody, in my opinion, and they show Melissa Joan Hart watching this match, like, you know, it's a big deal, man. The opening moments where Dragon just fucking slaps this guy in the face, the crowd was so into them. There is a very good point in this match where Lee Moriarty puts on the Border City Stretch on American Dragon, and Excalibur goes, the Border City Stretch, and JR goes, what's that, huh? And he does that because that forces Excalibur to explain what that is, because he has to fucking understand people. That's not the fucking RKO. It's not something.
But also it's like, I'm sure that was like a huge move on like the indie company he worked at, but nobody watches that. You can't keep trying to like just only appeal to the internet.
Yeah, it was Alex Shelley's move. But here's the thing: in TNA wrestling, he barely won, and when he won, it wasn't by like.
But also. You can't assume people watch TNA wrestling.
Exactly. So I thought, hey, you know, I know people, we like to shit on JR, but I will give him kudos for that because JR is forcing this guy to be like, mm-hmm. you know, like, do it, do your job, right? It's a great back and forth. American Dragon puts him in the triangle sleeper, knocks Lee Moriarty out. He wins, gets on the mic, calls out John Moxley because he has a decision to make. John Moxley comes out, gives a good, surprisingly good promo about their history together and how he's never actually beaten the American Dragon. And he goes, I think you want to team up with me because you're scared to fight me. I will not team up with anybody I don't believe with, basically meaning fight me first and then I'll decide whether or not I join up with you. Love this whole thing.
This was great.
You like the match?
Yeah, the match was very good. You know what I liked about this match is that, like, you, like, in the past when they've had, like, just a nobody come out and, like, have a competitive match, they did no background, they did no reason why the match is competitive. It's just suddenly some guy that's been on Dark for months is now on Dynamite, putting this guy who's a top guy to the limits and then vanishing again. But this had a lot of things like Daniel Bryan's trying to determine, should I mentor this guy? You know what I mean? And that match was good. And the promo was also good. I always think Moxley's kind of like corny, but it was good. It was a good Moxley promo.
Yeah, his promo wasn't surprisingly not bad. There was like a point to it, you know? We have history. I've never beaten you, but everyone else is scared of you. I'm not, because now I know I'm a different person now and I can beat you, but you are like, it looks like you're trying to dodge me. I loved it. It was good. It actually had a point.
Yeah. That Moxley wants to fight this guy before they lead some faction or something.
Yeah. Is this your first?
This is what I think is going to happen. I think that they're going to have the match of Revolution. Moxley's going to win. And it's going to look like Daniel Bryan and Moxley are going to team up. And then Daniel Bryan's faction is going to come out of the crowd and beat the shit out of Moxley.
He doesn't have a faction yet.
The faction's going to debut at Revolution after the match.
Oh, okay. That would be good, too. Do you think, like, Lee Moriarty is going to be in it?
Yeah.
Is this your first time seeing him wrestle?
No, I've seen him before. He kind of just blends together. This was the first time he actually stood out, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're going to have Daniel Bryan basically do an Evolution.
That would be good. I'll be into that. What did you think of Melissa Joan Hart?
She looks a little, she's looking a little, you know, I have this channel Rewind TV on during the day and that show comes on. I forgot that she was really good looking back then.
I'm not going to lie. She still looks good to me.
I would date her, but like she looked really good on that show. Like I never watched it. That was like, I was on a weird time.
Witch?
No, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
I thought you said Bewitched. I was like, no, she's not that old. She's not that old, bro. Who you want, Bewitched?
You know, everybody who knows wrestling knows that she's a, like, lifelong fan of wrestling. But why was she here? Does she live in Nashville?
I think she does. I think she's kind of Republican.
So. Oh, okay. I was thinking, is, like, Warner Bros. Is developing a new Sabrina, the Teenage Witch show?
They have one on the air. It's on Riverdale. Maybe they're going to have her come on Riverdale.
Oh.
I guess she's just there. I mean, if she's there, why not show her on camera? I mean, not show her on camera? Like,
Keith Lee, who debuted last week, an amazing debut. He gets a video package kind of explaining, like, I guess, introducing.
Oh, by the way, Dan Housen, not even on the show.
Not even mentioned. Yeah.
That was a problem I kind of had.
Dan Housen didn't debut last week.
No, he debuted like 3 weeks ago. But he's already like not even talking about
it. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a problem that I have with AEW, though, now that they're debuting all these new guys. And I'm sure that Dan Housen a year from now will have this big match where it's him versus Daniel Bryan. I don't know. Like, you can't just debut these guys and forget about them. Like, I think Keith Lee should have at least walked out and cut a promo.
Yeah. Going back to Dan Housen, to be fair, he's injured, so he can't wrestle at all. So maybe they're just like,
I would just have him like the boogeyman pop up in the back or something.
Yeah, that's what they're kind of doing right now. But I think they're trying to, I'm just saying, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Maybe they're just like, we can't keep pulling you out from under a
ring. I'll tell you when we get to something else, another guy. Okay. Yeah.
So Keith
Lee, I think they should have Keith Lee at least cut an interview.
He didn't cut an interview, but there was a video package with him kind of basically introducing himself. And he makes his intentions clear. that he's going after the TNT championship. He is
limitless.
Such a geeky look, geeky talking. Like, he talks like a geek. It's so funny.
Yeah, I think AEW is going to allow him to indulge in all the habits that Vince didn't like. Hopefully it works.
Yeah, he's just like a big soft guy at the end, you know. Match number two, Wardlow versus Max Caster of the Acclaimed. This is like the one of the, if you win, you qualify for the ladder. What is it? Whatever the ladder match at Revolution that Keith Lee is already a member of. So Wardlow is beating the shit out of Max Caster, which he should. During the split screen, he grabs Wardlow, throws him into the steps, so that gives Caster the edge. They hit him in the face with a chains. But even with all that, Wardlow still comes back, hits the Symphony of Power Bombs to win the match. Afterwards, Sean Spears does Ray Gooch's favorite thing and just stays relevant by hitting people with chairs afterwards. Did you like this?
I like this. I like the match, like Wardlow destroying. Wardlow's trying to do the Batista thing where he's a face, but he's like with the heels. I fucking hate the chair. I fucking hate. Dude, if I was Cody, I'd be like, you're going to let me go, but you're going to keep this fucking guy? You know, you can let this fucking guy go give me his money, right? Like, you can do that. Like, give me his money, dude.
Are you talking about Spears?
Yeah, he's such a fucking good. Dude, like, I think there's got to be something personal with Cody, because why would you not let go some of these doofuses and give the money to Cody? There's got to be something. Why would you keep Sean Spears? Why? He's worthless. He's worthless.
He probably doesn't want to break contracts.
If you have a budget, get rid of the dead waste. Keep Cody, Dashing Cody Rhodes. I'm sorry. He let Cody Rhodes go.
Yeah, but I don't think Tony Khan's not that rich, Ray. He's not some
billionaire. Oh, I thought he was a bazillionaire.
He's not some billionaire who owns.
Dude, you look me in the eyes and like, Cody Rhodes wants more money. Okay, get rid of Sean Spears and get rid of Luther and get rid of like fucking one of these other jerk offs. Oh, no, I can't. Yes, you can, bro. Just fire them. Just fire them. Like, stop it.
I bet you Tony Khan is like, when it comes to money, he acts like every other, like owner or boss. He's like, it's been a real tough year. You know,
there was a pandemic. Coach,
yeah, like,
you know, I think it'd be better if you tried to be Stardust again.
If I had $1 million laying around, 100%, you'd get it.
But I can't believe, dude, if you told me 2 years ago that they're going to let fucking Cody Rhodes go and not Sean Spears. See, even though this is a great show, a decision like that just tells me, like, ultimately, this isn't going to work out. Like, come on.
Possibly. Like Caster's rap in the beginning where he called Wardlow, what do you say, MJF's bitch boy or something like that?
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, that was good. This crowd.
The only thing is, I would have had Caster have a little less offense.
Yeah. I understand how they, like they were like, oh, he's only getting offense because they've been cheating. But
that's fine, but I'm still.
Yeah. I guess they did it to kind of protect Caster in some ways, but
yeah, like I think they still have players for the Acclaim.
Yeah, like he's not just some squash, but I agree. Like, yeah, sometimes you just want to see this guy smash people. This crowd was amazing, by the way.
Pretty good. Pretty good crowd.
Yeah. Didn't they go to like WWE recently?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. So Britt Baker's whole stable is in the back talking to Tony Schiavone, and she had hired. They do. This is a good promo too because they really quickly recap the whole situation. I hired you, Mercedes, to take out Thunder Rosa. The first night you didn't do it, so you better get it done tonight. And something that's weird happens. She says something about her sensei, and then the fucking evil sensei from the Karate Kid movies comes out, Marty Cove, I believe.
Yeah.
He's in Cobra Kai, and he's like repeats lines from the first movie. Why is this guy here? Is he dating Melissa Joan Hart?
Yeah, Cobra Kai is a huge show, bro. So just celebrity crossover.
Yeah, but why are all these celebrities showing up in Nashville?
I think a lot of them live in Nashville.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is Cobra Kai a WB show? No, it's like a
YouTube show. It's a Netflix show. But you know what? It's so hot. And if you can get an actor from Cobra Kai, you just do it.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so I didn't realize we were doing this pod. So I had I ate two pot cookies, right? So that's why I kind of was like, when you texted me, I was like, what? Oh shit. So it started kicking in around the Daniel Bryan match, and I just was like zoning in. Like, I was like, I gotta fucking focus. I was like really paying attention. And when this guy popped up, I thought I was fucking. I was like, no way. Like, I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was fucking hallucinating.
You're like hallucinating the Karate Kid guy?
Yeah, because I was like, why is this guy on the show? Like, it was so fucking weird. Hangman Adam Page comes to the ring. He's about to give an interview. Adam Cole comes out. Did he have orange hands? Like a really bad fucking tan? He looked like he had orange fucking hands. This was also a good promo because I thought Adam Page did a great job explaining the history between these two guys. They were in the same hot stable Bullet Club, but Adam Cole was the Adam. This guy, Hangman, was the other Adam. And how he was always champion. And then Hangman Page mentions how he's now got a title, a world championship that Adam Cole will never get. They're doing all this. They're doing all this while somebody in the audience has a noticeable sign that says Adam Cole has a dad bod. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, he just wouldn't put it down. You could fucking see it right there. Anyways, Adam Cole walks away. Red Dragon comes in and attacks Hangman Page. You know, Cole comes back in into three-way beatdown. Dark Order comes in to make the save. And there's all these security guards.
Number 10 starts really whooping ass.
Throwing like all of them. And I'm assuming they're doing this because 10 is probably going to fight like Adam Cole or something.
He is on Rampage, bro.
Yeah, so they're trying to like, I know you haven't seen him on TV in like a year, but this is what he can do.
I hope like that was really impressive. I hope they're actually going to give 10 a push and not just have him lose to Cole. Here's the other thing. You cannot tell me that Kyle O'Reilly's in a better position in this company than WWE. Like you can't, you can twist everything around, but he's back to being a doofus. He's back to being his little gopher.
They did explain why he was gone for a while.
No, they do. But then I got a bigger problem. Let's keep going with Adam Cole. We're about to reach the worst segment of the show, and like it was really keep going.
Okay, you got it. All right, so that closed the first hour of
Dynamite. It was a good setup for the title.
I thought it was good. They brought up the history, so he explained why he's going after the Hangman, mm-hmm. and they used the last few seconds to make 10 look good. Set him up. I liked it. Good first hour. Beginning of the second hour, we have a great video package between Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, the main event for tonight. And how they fought many times before, and each time it's something special. I loved it. Was this the part you thought was stupid?
Nope, that was not the part. Oh, okay. I like that video package.
But we're coming up on. Match number 3. Jericho and Jake Hager versus Santino. No, not Santino. Santana and Ortiz. Mm-hmm.
They just changed the name to Santino when he leaves.
So this is like a big match. Crowd super into it. Before they begin, boom. Eddie Kingston's music hit. He's making his return. Crowd popped huge for this guy. Chance of Eddie. JR is the one, I believe, who has to explain he is returned. He has returned. Well, actually, maybe it was like Tavis. Somebody explains that he's finally returned so that you're not out of the loop. And they start having a match. Now, it was during this match that they actually mentioned Cody. And it was in passing because during this match, they were doing.
They also mentioned with the CM Punk promo. Like the last dog collar match we had was Cody.
Yeah.
Versus Mr. Brady.
Cody, yeah. That's the only time they mentioned Cody. Good back and forth. Eddie Kingston gets on the apron. Jericho knocks him down. And during that moment of Jericho knocking him down, it allows Santana and Ortiz.
Santino Marella comes out and beats Ortiz
to get advantage of him. And Santana hit the discus lariat on Jericho for the clean victory. Afterwards, Jericho is so annoyed that he lost. He sees Kingston, he attacks, and they both start fighting. What didn't you like about this?
No, I like this. This is not the worst segment. We're getting closer to it.
Yeah. This was a good match, too.
This match was, like, I think it was one of my favorite Jericho matches since he came back. It was a good use of him. I really hope they there is a team from MLW supposedly coming over. And people fear – I saw people online be like, maybe they'll take Santino Ortiz's place in the inner circle.
Oh, interesting. It could be 51-50.
That would be good. But
the reason why that makes sense.
I really hope that Santino Ortiz break away hard from Jericho and go with Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, for those of you who are unaware, 51-50 is Danny Limelight and Slice Boogie. They're supposed to be the next incarnation of LAX. When they were first brought together under Conan in MLW, they actually called them LAX.
Yeah.
And I think they got in trouble for that. So they changed it to 51-50. So it could be those guys, but it could be anybody. MLW has like a, really an MLW tag team. I can't think of any other tag teams right now. It could be one of those.
It was reported. Hold on. MLW. Yeah. MLWA. Let me look it up right now.
Yeah. While you're doing that, let me go over some of the MLW tag teams. You also have La Parca's two sons. La Parca has two sons, but I would assume if you're
going to Violence is them, Forever.
Oh, God. No. You're going to think they stink.
I'm looking at them right now. It better be 51-50.
Dominic Green is out of shape. He wrestles in a gi, and when the gi starts opening up, you see his giant
muscles.
Kevin Koo has got a lot. He looks like an Asian CM Punk, but without the talent.
Dude, fucking every time I see MLW wrestlers, they look like somehow Impact, but worse.
Dude, if it's Violence is Forever, they're fucking stupid. They're not a good tag team. God damn. It better be 51-50 if they do it. And even then, they're not as good as Santina and Ortiz. I'm going to keep calling Santina. It's done now.
Like Tabasco champion.
Yeah. Now comes my favorite part of the show. We're backstage. The Young Bucks are with the Undisputed.
Oh!
And they're arguing back and forth. And during this argument between the Young Bucks and Red Dragon, they do mention why Kyle O'Reilly was out, because he was having a baby. So that's why he had the 3 weeks off. And if you're in a tag team, if one guy's out, you're both out. And they start getting into it. And basically, it ends with like Adam Cole going, guys, we can't be fighting. We're all one team. And then it cuts away to like them going, Brandon, which side are you going to go with?
And no, like, Brandon says that Adam Cole's side.
Yeah. What? Break this down for us.
I fucking hated this. Yo, bro, this was so fucking bad. The whole show was so fucking good. And then these fucking numbnuts that can't even talk. Dude, this mumble, like, kind of like this mumbling fucking promo shit that the Young Bucks do has to go. They got to go, bro. You know, and what made this worse is, like, yo, he chose these guys over Cody. Like, the other thing, the promo game on this entire show was on point. Everyone, even Lee Moriarty, is fucking cutting good promos. And then these fucking five doofuses. And this guy's supposed to challenge for the world title. It looks so fucking out of place. They look so fucking out of place. They got to tell the Young Bucks. Yeah, they're like, go to WWE as well. Like, get rid of the Young Bucks. They look so fucking out. It looks so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad, bro. And it stood out more this week. Because it's like, no, you got rid of a guy who was doing self-indulgent bullshit, but you still have these two guys who do self-indulgent bullshit. And they're bringing down, they make Kyle O'Reilly look stupid. Like, even his mom, like, oh, you know, I was actually dead. I have to be a dad now. Well, I have two kids. Oh, man, it's just that cutesy fucking.
Oh, yeah, they're like, guys, you all have cute kids.
And then, like, his, shut up, Brandon. It was so fucking corny, bro. dude, this was brutal. What made me angry is the whole show is on point. And it's like these fucking guys are just keeping it in the fucking mud and the dog shit. That's what the Young Bucks do. They just keep this show in indie fucking jerk off land. Get rid of them. Fucking throw them out. I've been saying this for months. You're gonna throw out Cody? Tell the Young Bucks to fucking go to.
Did you like the lion shirt that one of the Bucks was wearing? I like that shirt.
I hate these fucking guys, dude. They're horrible. I don't care what anyone says. If I was seeing with Tony Khan, I'd be like, all right, I understand why you got rid of Cody. You should fire the Young Bucks right now. You should fire the Young Bucks so you have money to bring in Ember Moon and fucking Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. Get rid of these guys, dude. Dude, this shit. Or there's got to be a meeting where, like, you guys got to cut real promos. You guys are no longer allowed to do this cutesy garbage. You guys have to actually be in the same universe as CM Punk with a dog collar and Jon Moxley with the "I'm gonna bleed with you" and fucking even Britt Baker. Like, you got to be in the same universe. This is fucking cheesy bullshit, dude. I was livid when I was so fucking mad at this segment.
Hey, you know what? Sounds like you liked it.
I fucking hate the Young Bucks, dude. I hope they get hit by a fucking truck and there are no survivors. I fucking hate them.
No, man. You see, you just don't understand what they're doing in this scene. They're trying to subtly build that there's a rivalry brewing between the Bucks and the Red Dragon. Dude, you just don't get it.
I would, you know, if I was Tony, I would be like, you already lost Cody. So all bets are off. Get rid of the Young Bucks. WWE will pick them up and it'll be the biggest fucking disaster known to man. Vince will roll out the red carpet for them and they're going to fucking fall flat on their faces. Vince is going to hate them. But meanwhile, he's going to have to pay them millions. Fucking let them go too, man. I guarantee you let the Young Bucks go. Dude, I told you. What did I say in the summer? I said the EVPs are the ones holding the show back. They got rid of one and look how good the show was. And I like Cody. There's a lot of people I would have got rid of before Cody.
No, they got rid of two. Wait. No, I guess Brandy doesn't count.
I guess Brandy is an EVP. Yeah, I'm talking about the core four.
Yeah.
Like, dude, next are the Young Bucks. Fuck. And if Kenny Omega wants to do his stupid, goofy faces, tell him to hit the fucking bricks, too. Let them all go to WWE and fucking – and Vince will fucking – oh, Kenny Omega. And Kenny Omega will go walk out to Roman Reigns and be like, oh, good. I'm the best. I wrestled in Japan. And Vince is going to be like, why the fuck did I give this guy $20 million? I'm going to fucking kill myself. Let them all go. It's like a fucking bomb. You're potentially just setting a bomb to WWE. And it'll be – and that's how you defeat WWE. Send all the EVPs there to fucking demolish the company.
So I disagree. I feel like Kenny Omega would be, if he went to WWE and they put him up against Roman Reigns, he would be like, denied today.
No, but I do think the only guy I would keep is Kenny. But if after you tell the Young Bucks to hit the road, I would keep Jericho over these guys. I think Jericho was playing ball. I think he could tell they're going to get rid of Cody. They're going to tell me to fuck off too. So
no, actually, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to talk about that. Jericho had a great performance tonight. And here's the thing. There are rumors his contract is
up. No, his contract is another 2 years. Another year at least.
Oh, another year.
Yeah, another year at least.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I thought his
contract was coming out. But I think Jericho knows this guy. I think the only ones who didn't get the fucking memo are the Young Bucks. But basically, the Cody thing is like, if I get rid of him, I'll get rid of anyone. So fucking, you gotta fucking step it up. Because everyone else is.
Okay.
Dude, these guys gotta become real wrestlers or you tell them to hit the road. I'm telling you, people are gonna be shocked if they did this, if they got rid of the Young Bucks. And I'm sure Vince signed them would be the worst fucking mistake he ever made. Only good things can come of getting rid of the Young Bucks and letting them go to team up with their buddy Dashing Cody Rhodes.
All right, now comes my favorite part of the show, match number four. No disqualification, Mercedes Martinez versus Thunder Rosa. Hmm. They're ready to fight, lead pipes, chairs hitting already. There is a moment where Mercedes gets thrown into the barricade and it just fucking falls over. I said, look, I know it was planned, but it looked brutal. Like she hit her back of her head on the ground. They fight through the crowd. Thunder Rosa was just jumping off things. they come back, they set up a table like on the apron, and they hit like, they try to do like a Death Valley driver, and they fucking slide down the thing. The table does not break, all right? It is, I am the table. It does not break. They get back in the ring. Mercedes, by the way, yeah, Mercedes hits a spider German suplex that looks really fucking bad. Like, she folded her up, and then right after that, Mercedes gets up on the top rope to do an elbow drop. She fucking slips, falls right on her face.
Mm-hmm.
But Thunder Rosa is still like fighting, and then she basically does the Fire Thunder driver finisher on a whole bunch of chairs for her to win. Thunder Rosa dressed up like Bruce Lee, appropriating my culture.
It was more like Kill Bill.
What?
Kill Bill.
Which is also appropriating Asian culture. Anyway, basically,
thankfully you have Shang Tsung, your hero.
Yeah. Well, she fucking kept appropriating my culture because she fucking bowed to Mercedes. This lady from the graveyards of Tijuana, Japan. Britt Baker's whole stable comes down and they start beating up. She goes to her sensei. Britt Baker goes to her sensei. They were just like, this is the Asian.
That was so sad. What now? What if he said, "Oh, let her go"? Like, what if he said, "I'm an actor, I don't fucking know, bitch"?
This was like the Asian portion of the show. Then she goes to Marty Koh from Cobra Kai, who's sitting in front of her. She goes, "What now, sensei?" He goes, "You know what to do. No mercy. Finish." They start beating the crap out of Thunder Rosa. They give Mercedes Martinez a chance to defend her, beat her up. But nah, home, she's thinking about they had the Barrios. They beat the crap out of her. They beat the crap out of both Hispanic ladies. All the white people do this. This was just a mess of fucking stereotypes.
Dude, I like the match. Dude, the post-match angle, they should have had Mercedes hit Britt with the pipe and then the other two beat her down. Like, the fact that Mercedes is standing like an idiot and then they just beat the shit out of her too. Like, somebody wants to fuck the shit out of Britt Baker. I think it's Tony Khan in the booking committee, because they never let her look stupid even for a second.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, they could have done this. That would have worked better, but I didn't see anything wrong with what they did. This match, by the way, I fucking love this match.
I'll say this. Thunder Rosa has to win a Revolution. She cannot lose.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa looks great.
You can't. If they make Thunder Rosa look an idiot like everyone else who fought Britt Baker, it's a waste of time. You can't have two women making every other woman look an idiot, which is the case with Jade and now Britt Baker. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Good match. I thought the ending further along the storyline.
It was good. It was a good match. I have a slight problem with, but it's not as bad as, it's fixable. It's not as bad as that Young Bucks bullshit. But anyway.
You know what, though? See, this is where I disagree. They should have kept Mercedes Martinez in that stable with Britt Baker, and it should have been her and Jamie Hayter arguing about whose baby was cuter. I'm telling you, it's going to work. It's subtle. You build.
Isn't Mercedes lesbian? I don't think she has a baby.
No, she has a kid.
She does? Oh, then let her argue about the baby, too.
Yeah, yeah. So you build a subtle rivalry. That's how you do it. That's
Jamie Hayter has a kid, too?
No, I just... it's kayfabe.
Kayfabe, brother.
Fucking get the fucking Marty... what's his name? Marco Stunt, you know? Like, hey.
Marco Stunt and Marty Kroll from Cobra Kai. Have Marco Stunt join Cobra Kai.
What happened to Marco Stunt?
I think they're done with him, but they just let his contract run out. I think they realized he made Jurassic Express look terrible, so they have to have Christian basically took his place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has not been seen in a very, very long time. Last time I saw Marcus Dunn, I think was GCW. Was he in GCW?
I think he might have been. I don't think you'll ever see him again.
Yeah. Hey, you know who we will never see again in a prominent role? Eric Young. Do you remember how we talked about how Violent by Design on Impact is like Eric Young's? It would have been Eric Young's idea for Sanity in WWE and how terrible it was. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how like not everybody has all these great ideas. Like they say, oh, they never use it in WWE as a great idea. But let me tell you something. This Malakai Black, I think if this is what he wanted to WWE, they fucking missed the boat. Because I love this shit that he
Okay, good. I thought you were about to be like, this is stupid, too.
No, this is great. I love – this is not the first one he's done. If you've missed any of these vignettes that he does at his house with the creepy music and him just in a creepy voice, you got to watch them all. They're all fucking good. They're short and they're good. They – Brody King's there with them, and they're hinting at a new member of the House of Black. I couldn't see the card he was holding up. That's a clue. I couldn't see it.
It's Buddy Murphy.
Wait, what? How do you know that?
You see him. You see him in the background for half a second.
That was so blurry.
Really? No, you can see him. It's Buddy Murphy. They already said they already spoiled one of these guys because Sean Rossip said it's going to be Buddy Murphy.
Oh, that is actually really good. I like that. Did you see what the card was though?
No, but when I saw Buddy Murphy's shadow in the background, I was like, oh, okay, good. It's Buddy Murphy.
You got good eyes, my friend. You like this?
Yeah, I like this. Yeah, it was good. Everything is so fucking good. This episode. Then I have two babies. Get the fuck out of here. Dude, these guys are fucking trash. Dude, they're such trash, the Young Bucks. You can't fucking ever tell me that these guys are garbage. I'm sorry. Oh god, they're so fucking bad. Oh man, everything that makes AEW shit is encased in those two fucking losers.
Man. Yeah. Did you see the one in the House of Black one vignette where he starts puking black stuff on the?
No, like, I never saw that
one was cool. Where guy just starts puking black shit, and you're just like, what the fuck? Then we get. By the way, so after this,
amazing, I saw where he's at a comedy show, and a girl's like, I like the way you're looking at me.
Did you see the one where he's just walking through his house and the room is like weirdly vibrating?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is the only thing I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't watch the show that much.
If you can, go back on YouTube and watch the very first one. He starts talking about how his baby is cuter than anybody else. That's what starts this whole thing.
And then he's Father of the Year.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, Father of the Year, exactly.
Dude, if Kyle O'Reilly's happy with where he is, he's got to be a fucking idiot. He's going to be a fucking idiot, bro. Sorry.
Jay White does a video about him being here in AEW, and I thought it was great because he brought down the history between him and Kenny Omega and how he's the one who kicked Kenny Omega out of New Japan Pro Wrestling because it beat him so bad. And that's what allowed Kenny Omega to come to AEW. So he was like, in a way, I created AEW. I fucking loved it. It was good.
Yeah, that was good. I hope they signed him. He should be in the company, like as a major. Like he shouldn't just be like, oh, we're going to put him in Rebel. He should be like in the company. I hope he
will. Yeah, I don't know how contracts, the New Japan contracts are going to go.
I know. So. I just feel like the way like they're using him, but they're not really that ecstatic about it. I don't know. There's something weird going on with that.
Yeah, they haven't put him in the main event in a very, very long time.
But also like even like on Impact, doesn't he just kind of like just waddle around Impact, but he's not even like a big deal over there?
No, they're doing. You're going to hate this, but they're doing this. You're really going to hate this.
Good Brothers versus Bullet Club.
Yeah, they're doing Jay White leading. The faction of Bullet Club, which is like Chris Bay and the fucking G.O.D., they're in Impact now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the Good Brothers and Violent by Design.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, you know.
Okay, so we are actually going to cover on Saturday. We're doing a super day of wrestling. We're going to cover Elimination Chamber, followed by No Surrender.
Is No Surrender? Wait, what? Wait, is Elimination Chamber on Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
I can watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then No Surrender's at night.
But is it like Saturday in the morning or some shit? Or is it
it's like afternoon? Noon.
I could definitely watch that. Yeah, yeah. Right. I'll be up by then. All right.
Super Saturday.
Super Saturday, yeah.
I'm devoting my day to wrestling. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to go to our main event. Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara. Crowd super into this. They're going back and forth. Sammy Guevara hits fucking Colt Cabana's Chicago Skyline finishing move on Darby. Darby like bounced off and fucking flew out of the ring. I was like, oh fuck, I thought he fucking died. there's a point where Darby Allin hits that cutter on Sammy Guevara, who rolls outside the ring. Darby tries to go for a dive. Sammy catches it into a cutter. It was amazing on the outside. This match is so good. It's going back and forth. Jose, Andrade's buddy, comes in. Sting beats him up while that's happening. It allows Andrade to get a cheap shot on Darby Allin. Sammy knows something's fishy, but hey, man, he's got to win. It's his go-to-hospital finishing move. So it's for the win. Afterwards, Matt Hardy comes and he starts attacking Darby Allin. Sammy Guevara, even though he won stuff, he came in to make the save, which allows Andrade to beat up both of them. And he holds up, he takes both TNT titles. And even though Sammy won, Andrade and Matt Hardy walk away with the titles. I loved it. I give it 100 stars.
1,000 stars. I got to tell you, the other fucking loser that I'm like, well, Matt Hardy, when he ran in and those punches were so bad. Dude, Matt Hardy's another guy. I know they keep him around because of Jeff. I know they keep him around because they want to do the Hardy Boy shit with Jeff, and they can get Jeff. And I definitely think you should get Jeff. Jeff wants to come, yes. Boy, that guy's fucking scrub now. Oh, man.
You know, if they get Jeff Hardy and they bring in the Hardy Boys, you know who they're going to have to face, right?
The Young Bucks.
Yeah, of course. So you're going to be okay with that?
No, I don't think they should fight the Young Bucks. I think the Young Bucks should be fired, and they should fight. There's a million teams I want them to fight before the Young Bucks. Lucha Express, fucking.
Lucha Express? No.
They're not called the Lucha Express. Jurassic Experience? I don't know. Jurassic Express. The Lucha Express.
Lucha Express.
Whatever the fuck they are. The Lucha Brothers. Proud and Powerful. Dude, even Darby Allin and Sting before they.
How did you get that tag team name right? But, no one's called them that in years, Proud and Powerful. No one's even called them that in years.
Yeah, they're called Proud and Powerful, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's true, though. You're right.
Private Party, which that would be fun. Even Bear Angelico Country? And Frangelico. What the fuck were their names? Angelico, Frangelico?
Jack Evans. Hybrid 2, who I Hybrid think 2. Are probably not going to be around.
How come Frangelico doesn't come out and do his dancing?
He's not booked anymore.
He's not booked, Angelico?
No, not even on Dark. He has not. I have not seen him in months.
People loved his dance. He had the private party in back. What is? There's some weird shit. The dance.
I think the Hybrid 2 are in the same boat as like Brian Cage and Marco Stunt.
He just doesn't want to. He just doesn't care about the name.
Yeah, I think he's quietly letting their contracts just run out and then not going to resign.
I would just fire these guys. I know he thinks he's doing the right thing. I would just get rid of them. That's why you didn't have money for Cody.
Yeah. No, you know why he can't do that? Because he was stupid enough to go on fucking Twitter and talk about how he wouldn't do that. So now he can't do that.
So fucking dumb. That's probably why. Yeah. Matt Hardy is just, dude. That I hope Matt Hardy can fucking rediscover what he had. Because, dude, he looks like a guy who should have retired like 5 years. I remember, like, I was so into Matt Hardy 5 years ago. Boy, was I fucking wrong. This guy stinks. He's been a disaster. He's been a disaster. Dude, the fact that him and fucking Sean Spears and there's so many doofuses. Like, if I'm Cody, why would you not go back to Vince? The fact that he let Cody go but kept half of these fucking retards. You know?
Yeah. I mean, did you like this match, though? Darby and Sammy?
Yeah, I love the match. I just didn't like – I don't – Andrade hitting them with a fucking – my problem was, have you ever been hit by a fucking tablet? Doesn't hurt. So, like, Darby on pretending he's dead because he got hit by a tablet was kind of fucking stupid. Like,
that is true. That is true.
But otherwise, it was a great match. That was just kind of really stupid. Like, Darby Allin acted like he got shot.
Yeah, I did like how it ends with a kind of like a cliffhanger of like, is Andrade stealing the titles? Like, he's actually stealing, right?
I think Andrade versus Darby would be a fun match. So
yeah, this Dynamite rarely ends on cliffhangers, but they have done that now 2 weeks in a row. So I kind of do like that. Because that's how I think wrestling shows should end. Because it has you guessing, like, holy crap, what's going to happen next week? Or this is going to lead to something, you know?
Yeah, no, no. Like, I would say this was a proud and powerful episode.
It was a proud and powerful episode.
It was good. I think it's a statement that we don't need Cody. And I'm gonna say this again to get rid of the Young Bucks. It's gonna be the best thing you've ever done. Tony, please, please get rid of the Young Bucks.
This was a good job tonight, Tony Khan. You did good.
Did you say Cody Khan?
Cody Khan, you did good. I'm gonna call from now on, Cody Khan.
Cody Khan. All right, guys, we will be back. I don't know when, but we'll be back. Well, thanks for listening.